Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you're new to the show or have been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode.
Well, again, a huge thanks to Josh for being able to be on today's episode. Josh, we are so glad to have you back on to Wallet Wisdom.
I'm glad to be back, everyone. Thank you.
Indeed. Well, for those that maybe are tuning in for the first time or are kind of new to the show, would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about you and what you do for the credit union?
Yeah, my name is Josh. I'm the manager of the fraud department here. We oversee all of the different fraud prevention software and tools that we have available to us to help protect our members and then hopefully to prevent fraud from occurring in the first place. In the case that we do see fraud, we try to help recover funds and get back what we can.
That's amazing. And it's, I think, probably become a bigger job these days as more and more technologies come out. There's new ways for fraud to be utilized. It's probably not the same, you know, email from a prince overseas. It's evolved a lot.
Absolutely. We've seen, like everything in the world, COVID had a pretty big impact on financial crime in general. We saw a pivot away from one-off individuals committing financial crime to a pretty big swing to organized crime taking over and kind of running the show a little bit more. And that comes with additional resources. It comes with software. It comes with a kind of professionalism of the job itself.
Yeah.
And so we've all heard about foreign call centers that have different fraud groups. They have their call centers that they run. And in this case, those people have, you know, they have fiber.
Sure.
And the internet. They have three screens each. They have got new software, new computers that they're running.
Wow.
And they have a lot more resources than they used to.
For sure. Well, and, you know, I think, too, that complicates a lot of things for everybody, because it's also like the onus being on me to be more aware and more, I guess, savvy with these potential kind of fraud attempts, whether that's on my text messaging or email or, you know, honestly, nowadays, it's even just pop-ups that you're seeing that can pop up on a website. It's crazy. And so with that, I think about your job working for a financial institution. I think about other financial institutions as well. Just the extra level of care and work that is now on our plates to really make sure we're keeping all of our members' finances safe.
Yeah, we I would argue that we used to have a almost cyclical trend where we'd see one type of fraud pop up and then we would kind of pivot to a different type of fraud.
Sure.
And then we'd pivot to a different type of fraud. And that's not really what we see anymore. We do see big swings when something happens, but for the most part, we see a type of fraud become common, and then it stays common forever. And then we see more fraud come up, and then they get good at that, and then that becomes more common. It isn't necessarily a cyclical trend anymore. It's more just an ever-increasing trend across all different payment rails and all the different types of fraud that we see just continue to grow.
Feels kind of like a what's next kind of thing.
Very much so. I think that here at LMCU and everywhere across the industry, there is a constant game of catch up being played and trying to figure out what we can do now to kind of get ahead of the next curve. And sometimes I think for the most part, we try to guess correctly. And I think that we do guess correctly about what's coming down the road. But there's been some definite moments where like things like AI come in and kind of change the game a little bit.
Right.
You do have to kind of pivot hard and try to figure out what we're going to do with the tools that we have.
For sure. Because again, I think for everybody, for all listening, I mean, AI has a very fast evolving kind of tool that can be used for so many amazing things. But with anything that is an amazing tool, it can also be used for some really unfortunate things. So, you know, with that growth in AI and misinformation and kind of this confusion that is out in the markets, you know, how do we start to evaluate our finances? What's credible information?
Yeah, that is actually very difficult. It used to be that email that you got from the Nigerian prince or whatever it might be, your long lost uncle who has $1 million and wants to share it with you because you're his only remaining kin.
Talked for years, but he definitely wants me to in his will.
Yeah, exactly. And they all have, you know, you get that email. that says, "Dear exalted family member," and it's just broken English and doesn't make a lot of sense. The grammar's off.
Yeah.
That's not true anymore. Right. We don't see that anymore. They have access to AI and ChatGPT, and they can say, "Translate this so it sounds normal," and then it comes across as a perfectly normal email.
Yeah.
And so we've seen them use that tool for emails, text messages, phone calls. Every avenue that you can be contacted is being exploited by fraudsters. I have every day, we're dealing with people who have received those bad emails, received pop-ups on their computer, received text messages. The most common one that we're dealing with right now is related to digital security. And rather than going to, say, lmcu.org, they will just type in LMCU. Into a web browser, a search engine.
Yeah.
And some search engines are better than others at detecting what is bad. So if you use certain search engines, the first result that you get will not be lmcu.org. Even if 95% of the time it is lmcu.org,
right.
You click on the one that's fraudulent because fraudsters are pushing out those fake websites.
For sure.
You click on that one. It looks like our website because they're copying it. But if you look at the top, it actually says lmcucarwashdaves.org or something like that.
Right. They like to hide some of that in the URL.
Exactly.
And even that, you know, there's these new, you know, short URLs that can be made that, you know, don't look suspicious even. And so there's a lot of these things. I feel like today there's so much more that we have to be analyzing and almost like little fraud detectives on our own, because it's just, and again, it's just everywhere, you know?
And I think that that's partly possible because of the need for convenience, right? Mm-hmm. We all want the ability to not have to call another company. We don't want to call our internet provider. We don't want to call our cell phone company. We don't want to call our bank. And so it's easy to use avenues like text messages or chat or something like that to do that. But that's so much easier for fraudsters to abuse as well.
Right.
So when you get a text message saying that there's a charge on your account at Walmart or something like that, you don't have to respond to that text message. Right. You can act on your own and just pull up your mobile app and verify that transaction did or did not happen.
Yeah.
And that is, if there was a takeaway that I have for how to deal with misinformation and through any avenue that you can get communicated by, say, your electric company, your energy company, your bank, your credit union, whatever that might be. If you receive a communication from them, you have a right to verify that and validate that information.
Yeah.
And so we regularly see situations where people will get notice in the middle of January that their heat's going to get cut off because they owe $950 that they don't have. They have to pay $950 by buying gift cards or something like that
in order
to keep their heat on, which obviously in January in Michigan, you're going to want to do.
No kidding.
So then they'll set up money. Or you could just call consumers.
Right.
And it might be inconvenient for you to do that. It is inconvenient to pick up the phone and call consumers. I've had to do it a couple of times. It's not fun.
Right.
But at the same time, it will save you that money when you know that you're not involved in the scam.
Right.
Because you're talking to them.
Well, and I know like the phrase, like time is money. Right. And so I get when, from a convenience standpoint, we're trying to always find, and again, some of these AI tools are helping people find more time in their schedules. And so again, one of those really great, but also on the flip side, there's the other side of that coin. There's a lot more risk. And so while I would say, yes, your time is valuable and time equals money, I would also ask, at what point are you willing to give up all of your money? Because if you're trying to save your time to save money, you're also potentially putting yourself in a risky spot where everything's digital, you can't verify. And, you know, that kind of is something that I know we've talked about before on the podcast and we talk about with our teams internally here is, you know, one thing that sets LMCU, I think, apart is we continue to want to build branches. We want to continue to put brick and mortar in communities, whereas a lot of places and companies are moving digitally to for cost reasons and the rest. For us, we want to be in your neighborhood so that if you get something that is fraudulent, if there is something that looks suspicious, you can go into that branch and know you're talking to a real human you know. But to your point, to reaching out to companies, going to their official websites and finding their 1-800 numbers and getting a actual representative from the company, I think that's really smart. So with text messages and all of that, you know, there's a lot of times they will provide you a number. You would probably advise, don't click on that number.
Never.
Okay.
That's
where my first mistake was.
If I get a text message from LMCU, I'm going to go to lmcu.org and try to, or check my account via the app.
Yes.
That is the only way that I feel comfortable interacting with that company. You have, yeah. You are a customer of that company. They don't dictate how you talk to them.
Right.
You are the consumer. You are paying for services. You're whatever the situation might be.
Yeah.
You have a right to dictate how you're going to interact with that company. Use that. Use that authority, use that power that you have, and meet them on your own terms in an area that you are fine with and you are comfortable with. If that means going to the branch,
right.
That sounds awesome. We'd love to have you.
That's right? Exactly right.
Please go, have a conversation with them.
Usually, and then yeah. Coffee too.
And there's definitely a pivot to where a lot of services will exist that are purely digital. And that does, as a fraud manager, at least that makes me nervous.
For sure. There's just so many more chances for imitators to come in.
Absolutely.
To really try and, you know, again, misguide people to the wrong kind of places. So, you know, we were talking again about AI, and there's been some really pretty scary stuff, if I'm being honest, and not enough to, like, I don't want to scare people listening, but, you know, I've seen how AI image generation, and you were talking about how it's not just the same tropes as before. They're now being able to pull and find data about us, who our loved ones are, names, what ages, and even just with what we're putting on our social media channels.
Yeah.
You know, there's a larger use of data that is using against us too.
And it takes far less data to generate the new content too. It used
right.
to be that you had to have video in order to recreate video. Now right. you need a still picture to create video.
It's unbelievable.
Compelling video.
Compelling. So when I think about, you know, my loved one opening up their email and there's a video that looks like me looking like I'm in distress and that I need money right away, those are the things that start to creep into my head. So, you know, how can we really start to evaluate those types of things as well and kind of keep us a little bit safer?
I do think that there is that the same message that I had about companies and that kind of communication can apply to family members, can apply to those kind of threatening situations sure. that you're thrown into. If you get an email, if I got an email saying that Brett was, in harm's way and it appears as if he's in desperate need of help and I need to send $10,000 somewhere, I'm going to recommend that you call Brett.
Yeah.
And find out that he's at Panera Bread sipping on coffee.
That's
or
right.
something like that.
That's right.
And so the amount of times that you can have that kind of situation where something bad is happening, and the whole goal here, I mean, we could talk about other threats that might come up too,
mm-hmm.
but the goal is to instill fear. The goal is to instill fear in you. And when you're afraid, you're more compliant. You're going to do what you can to reduce
sure.
that fear. And conveniently, the fraudster is going to help you by telling you exactly what you need to do to get rid of that fear.
Of course. Of course. And it's funny. So a few episodes back, we talked about mindfulness in finances, right? And just kind of, you know, finding the balance and some of the stressfulness that finances can bring. You know, and I think about how that mental component of, so fear, right, is meant to put you in a non, like, rational state of mind.
Yeah.
You know?
The way that I've always thought about it, and this could be psychologically incorrect, is fight or flight. You have if you are presented with a situation where you get a call from the FBI and they're
sure.
saying, we found your blood and your driver's license in a car in Texas and we're going to come and arrest you unless you give us money.
Give us money, right.
There is a fight or flight reaction to that. And mm-hmm. in this case, most people are going to be like, I can't fight the FBI. I guess I will flight from the FBI. And
right.
then the fraudster is going to say, run here.
Right.
Run here. And then they'll point
we'll
you
help.
To, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, take $10,000 out of the bank and take it to the nearest Bitcoin ATM. And
sure.
then this problem will be resolved.
Yeah.
And so they try to trigger that fight or flight, and they tell you exactly what you need to do to fix that problem.
Yeah, no doubt. That's I really appreciate that, even just that example, because while that might be jarring for someone listening, like, that can't be real. That's a real scam. There's been real texts where, whether it's that we found blood or whatever, or we have a outstanding warrant for your arrest from the state because of a ticket or a this or a that, these are the tactics that are being utilized to truly try and trigger us to to do something, and it's usually calculated towards.
Yeah, it's a mix. It's a mix of both confusion and fear a lot of times. Yeah. So it'll be things like a pop-up appears on your computer one day, and it says you have a virus. Call this number. You call the number, and it will say, "We found lots of bad, compromising material on your computer, and I'm going to transfer you to the FBI now." So it starts off kind of innocent, and then it kind of immediately escalates really poor in a lot of different directions. We've seen individuals that have been bounced from Microsoft, allegedly, to the FBI, allegedly, to their bank, allegedly, to the FTC, back again.
They will, and
they're on the phone for hours a lot of times. And so there is both the fear, but also the confusion about what next steps might be, and then they're going to happily give you those next steps that you need to take.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you clarified earlier too, because that kind of is the evolution of where we're at. These tactics and approaches, they're tricking everybody. So it's not just a certain group of people. I'm glad that you pointed that out, because it's constantly evolving. I even worry about some of the younger generation more so than ever, because there's a lot of gaps in knowledge of maybe some financial stuff, or they've kind of all been in the digital space. So I think while they may be more apt to know what to look for, I think there's also a lot of targeting there too, probably.
Absolutely. I would argue that everyone is susceptible. And that what it comes down to a lot of times is how much they think they can get from a person. And so the professionals, the true professionals, will focus primarily on the elderly because they believe they can get more funds out of them. But yes, they train on the younger crew.
Yeah.
They start off their fraud careers
at the
entry-level desk job dealing with teenagers who don't understand how normal traditional banking works. They've never written a check in their life.
Sure.
They grew up where Cash App and peer-to-peer apps like Zelle and things like that are very common and frequently used in everyday life.
Right.
And so they don't necessarily know that to receive a paycheck via Zelle is abnormal and odd.
Right.
And it's concerning, probably.
Right.
So we want to do what we can as a fraud manager and as an institution to educate on what is normal, what is standard business practices.
For sure.
And standard banking practices.
So you mentioned something just a little earlier too about, you know, how, because this has always been on my mind too. Okay, so great, they got my money, but how are they getting it out, and how is that, you know, this arrest? You mentioned about Bitcoin, and I know I've been seeing a lot more of Bitcoin ATMs in particular, and I think that's new enough for me that, and maybe for listeners as well, that I'd love to learn a little bit more about what this is. And I obviously it's approved for us in our society to use, but there's a lot of potential for some fraud, I'm assuming, too, with how these Bitcoin ATMs are set up. Can you tell me
more? I think that the way that I mentally kind of parrot it is that all squares are rectangles, but all rectangles are not squares.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes to Bitcoin, not all Bitcoin or cryptocurrency is bad, but all bad actors are using cryptocurrencies to commit fraud.
Sure.
And one of the more convenient ways is through Bitcoin ATMs. It used to be that if you were scamming a person and you had them go to the branch to pull out a large amount of cash, they'd have to go do that. And then they'd have to drive to FedEx, buy a box, put that cash into a box, and then overnight it somewhere to usually a vacant house.
Right.
Where a courier would come around and pick it up. Every step of the way there leads to delays. It leads to the ability for the person to step in and try to prevent that from happening. The box could just get lost.
Right.
There's a lot of problems. And so what we've seen now is a pivot to convenience. Fraudsters like convenience too.
So that's the funny irony.
They
want a convenience too.
Yep. And if you pull out your phone and you just, you know, go to Google Maps and type in Bitcoin ATMs, you're going to find a bunch nearby. Every time I go and do a branch meeting or meeting with the community, I always tell them to do that. And there's always like 5 or 10 in a 5 or 10 mile radius.
Yeah.
They're very, very frequent. They're very common.
Sure.
And so what they'll do is, instead of going to FedEx after you do a large cash withdrawal, you do the large cash withdrawal, and then you would be told to drive 3 miles down the road to a Bitcoin ATM.
Wow.
And you deposit, you type in the wallet number, it's a big long number, and you type that in and you deposit the cash and it's gone.
And And it's so similar to an extent to like the Western Union kind of approaches in the past where you were doing this. The difference is with Western Union, there would at least be a paper trail, correct? Whereas these Bitcoin ATMs, when it's gone, it's pretty gone.
So Western Union is also in a U.S. company, and they're going to have thresholds. They're going to have regulations that apply, things like that. They might have a incentive to help the consumer, things like that. Cryptocurrencies are less inclined to they don't fall under jurisdictions really well or anything like that. And so it really becomes very, certainly when it comes to recovery, it is much easier to move money around using Bitcoin and immediately get those funds overseas somewhere where there's nothing that I or law enforcement can do to recover those funds.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's really, yeah, because I actually, weirdly enough, of all places, there was at a local sports bar and grill nearby, I saw a Bitcoin ATM and I thought, odd to have a Bitcoin ATM here in the sports bar. But, you know, with, I'm sure, Keno and other stuff that goes on, there's probably some use cases that make sense. But I have always wondered about the Bitcoin ATM. So, again, it's one of those things for listeners to, don't hear us wrong. It's not that we're bashing any of this stuff. It's with anything, there's tools that can be used for good, and the same tools, sadly, can be used for some bad stuff, too. So
the same tools that we like to use that lend a certain amount of convenience to us are also used by fraudsters.
By fraudsters. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, Josh, I'd love to kind of just hear from you. What are some simple steps for listeners to really take control again of kind of the misinformation, take control of maybe some of that fear that can come in, and really what to be aware of when we're looking at our finances and really just in general, things that can come in our way as fraud?
The tips that I have would probably start with verifying the information that you get. If you have a text message or something like that indicating that something is going on in your account, check your account. Don't reply to the text message in any way. If you get an email saying something bad is happening, verify the situation. If you get a call from a number that you don't recognize or something like that, it's okay to let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
And if you're making a call because of something bad in front of you, take a moment, breathe. Maybe don't call that number. Maybe call somebody else that you trust that can help you. The other biggest thing that we see is that people are told to lie to their banks. They're told to lie to their bank, lie to their credit union, and not tell them what's really going on. So in the event that you do get stuck on a call with the FBI or with the Social Security Administration or something like that, you have every right to tell your bank or your teller that and say, you know, I think I'm being pressured into this. If they say, tell the individual at the credit union or bank that this is for flooring or a car purchase or something like that, you're taking out your funds and you're going to go give them away. You don't have to do that. You cannot do that.
Right.
And certainly if law enforcement is threatening you in any way, you can hang up on them too. And you can call law enforcement directly. I've had plenty of interactions with law enforcement over the years. They all say that that is okay.
Yeah.
So they would encourage you to do that just because they know that they are impersonated a lot.
But what's worse is that some of these numbers are coming in that are local area codes.
Or even it will say LMCU is calling you on your phone.
On your phone.
You can absolutely just say, no thanks.
I'll call you right back.
You call them right back.
That's exactly
right. And they'll say, no. We've seen a bunch of instances too where they're told that somebody at LMCU is taking your funds.
Wow. And
so you can't be honest with LMCU because obviously LMCU is the problem. I haven't seen a single example of that actually occurring. It's always them just threatening them.
That's incredible. So kind of like you're saying, those few things are to really kind of take a minute. If you're feeling those pressures, right, and you're feeling like there's a sense of urgency from the other side, take a minute and just say, can you call me back later? Just a moment to pause, think, talk to somebody, right?
Call the fraud department.
Or call the fraud
your
department.
Institution, whether that's exactly LMCU or not, call your fraud department and say, I got this call. Was that from you? Or what? Have you seen this trend lately? There's a lot of different trends that pop up. We are here to help.
And you know, I'm glad you brought up our fraud department because honestly, your team is incredible and they are there for our members. There's a lot more exposure to fraud than there ever has been. So your job's a big one, Josh.
Ever challenging.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's tons of great stories that you could share, but probably will keep those for another time.
Sounds good.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Josh.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. If you've got questions or ideas for future podcast episodes, be sure to drop them in the comments below. Also, if you haven't already, consider subscribing and ringing that bell to stay up to date on future episodes on YouTube. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.